That thing was junk. If you had a 2% grade, you had to get out and push it up the hill. I mean, it was horrible. I still remember, and it was white, inside and outside. You do not have four kids and a white interior. I mean, it just, but I bought it because I wanted to get a new car, or a decent car, and I bought it. And it ran good, but it had no powers. And so finally, as soon as I can get rid of it, so I go in, I'm going to trade it in. And boy, they didn't hardly want to give me anything. So I found out something. I walk in there, I learned something, study how to. I started studying, listening to older guys telling me how they buy vehicles. And he said, take yourself a pad and pencil, walk in and talk to the salesman, and then turn around and walk out. Thanks for your advice. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, well, you're number one. I got four other people I want to see that's going to give me a good deal. And if it's a good salesman or someone really wants to sell you a car, they'll stop you and you'll be the only one they talk to. Amen. That will be the only one you talk to. We need to study to rightly divide. Number two, must grow to be able to know right from wrong. Even human beings, there's a time where you grow up to where you know. Little kids grow up and they know the difference between right and wrong. And that's called the age of accountability. Us Christians need to grow so we can know right from wrong, so we don't make bad choices. And then lastly, we must choose rightly to reach goals. You don't reach your goals, you won't reach your pinnacles. One of the easiest ones for me, it's just an easy one, is reading your Bible. Many years ago when I got saved, my pastor stood up and said, you need to read your Bible, you need to come to church all the time, and you get baptized if you get saved. So I got saved, got baptized, started reading my Bible the day after I got saved. Monday morning, I started reading my Bible. 1973. I think I missed 3 or 4 days all those years of not reading my Bible. And I make up for it the next day, read double. But I've always read my Bible every day. It was a choice I made a long time ago. Amen? So you know, to read your Bible once a year, that's easy. Because I made a right choice. I made a right choice. Read my Bible is important. Every day, night and day. And I read it in the morning, I read it in the evening. And you know what? If you're reading 4 chapters a day to read your Bible through in a year, that's only 2 chapters in the morning and 2 chapters in the evening. Come on, we read more emails or texting during the day than that. Come on, amen? So reach your goals is pretty easy when you start making right choices. So choose properly. Next one, find Romans 6, if you would, please. I hope you got all those blanks. If you're blank, I can't help you. If you would, verse 13 says this, neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your members, talking about your body, parts of your body. Let me start here with a question for you and see if you can help me. When do you have to yield? When? What event or what happening has to occur that you have to yield? Okay, I didn't think of it that way. That's good. In other words, something's greater is in the way, so God's greater than you are, so yield to Him. Okay, I got that. Or if you're going through an intersection and a semi-truck's coming, you might stop. Let that semi-truck go by, then you could go, okay. Or if someone like Elijah wants a cookie and he's right behind me, I'm going to let him have the cookie. I'm going to yield to him because he's bigger than me. Okay. Anybody else? That's not what I wanted, but that's good. Come on. When do you have to yield? What event happens where you have to yield?
When I accepted Jesus, okay. I had to yield to
Him. Okay. We're talking a Christian. You're already a Christian. Come on. I must not be asking this right. Okay. Ladies, and I don't want you mad at me, please. The Bible says you need to submit to your husband. When does submission come into effect? When it's something you don't want to do. when it's contrary to your desires. Yielding. Am I right or wrong? Let's just be honest. As human beings, we don't like to be told what to do. Amen? We do not like it. And today it gets worse. I mean, we've got a worse days. It's kind of funny. This was hilarious. Oh, I think this is the most hilarious thing I've seen. To me, I've been really irked at Americans yielding to government. It irks me to watch us give up our rights as Americans. I hate government coming over and says, you can't build that fence there. It's my yard. Yeah, well, you need a permit. I need permission to build a fence in my yard? Are you kidding me? And they said, yes. I said, well, I'm not going to get permission, so go away. And they can't do anything about it. You know why? That's called constitutional power. They cannot make you do something on your property. And so you have that power, but we give it up. So my wife and I is NPA. And anybody remember, you know those buttons you push so you can walk? So this guy comes up. I'm not kidding you. My wife and I is two or three cars back. This guy comes up down there on Ray Street in First. I think it's First that goes through there. Anyway, he comes up and he walks. This is the lane. He walks all the way over by two or three lanes. He looks over there. No one's coming. He looks over and sees stop, and he goes back and pushes the button and does this. I went, you gotta be kidding me. What an idiot, amen. I mean, we're not talking about that kind of yielding, amen. Something you don't want to do. Us as human beings, it's funny. What I was trying to say, it's funny how we will do that with a stupid button and a sign. Are we driving down the road? I know some people get a kick out of me because if there's a curve in a road and no one's coming, I go straight. And I have people in the car goes, you're crazy. You're supposed to follow the yellow lines. Why? Because they painted a yellow line there? That's what, and I would not pass your driving test. I told my wife I got 100% when I took my driving test. That was back in 1975. I haven't driven that according to the driving test since. But all I'm saying is, isn't that funny how we'll do that? We'll follow the line when it comes to government. Then God comes around and says, thou shalt not. And we go, I don't want to do that. Isn't that sad? But that's not what a dynamic follower, disciple of Christ does. The disciple of Christ says, whatever you say, Lord, I'm here. You're smarter than the government. You're smarter than me. I'm listening to you. That's a dynamic disciple. Amen? And so here, we go, look at the verses here, if you would, please. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. Now, some of you know these passages of Scripture. If you do, say amen when I read them and act like you never heard them before. Okay, if you would, chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, love not, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Would you say, come on, would you say to me, when he's saying love not the world, mean put your desires upon it, yearn for it, yield to it. Lord says, don't do that to the world. Neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of you can think of something in your life that you used to love to do and you don't do it anymore? Now, if you don't mind telling us, if it's not something really nasty or bad, anybody think of anything? That you used to like to do, you don't like doing anymore. I used to like to drink Kool-Aid. That's garbage. I used to love Captain Crunch. Especially with honey. And you talk about junk food. That's all that is. And when I got older, I said, that stuff's nasty. Come on, amen. Anybody else? I used to have a drink of alcohol from now and then, yeah? Same thing. Okay, anybody else? Nobody else wants it, but Tina?
I
Used to what? Skateboard. Oh, used to skateboard. Okay. You know, with your history of broken bones, you need to stay away from skateboards. Unless you get one that's about that big and has handles and a strap. You still eat Cap'n Crunch? I saw Nikki smiling over there. Do you put honey on it? Sometimes. She's feeling a little racy, you know. And come on, let's be honest. You know, the things pass away. The things we used to like, we don't like. Sometimes, you know, I can eat a Brussels sprout. It used to be my mom would make Brussels sprouts, and I'd go, I'd almost choke just thinking of it. Now I can eat one, especially with garlic and bacon and butter, and yeah, it tastes pretty good. I just eat that stuff and leave the Brussels sprout sitting there. Things are different. So we need away from the world, yielding away from the world and to God. Let's stop yielding to the world. We yield to the world too much. I've said this before, and it's worth repeating. There's a time that you may want to go home someday and just get a piece of paper and put a line down the middle and put flesh, spirit, and see how much time you put into each on an average day. We're probably all going to go, oops. It's pretty bad. Come on, let's be honest. It's pretty bad. Now, work is not flesh. Even some play is not flesh. We need it. The Bible even says you need to rest a while. You need to get away for a while. Their leisure is okay. But if we're putting a lot of extra leisure time in, a very few work time and a lot of no spiritual time, we're really hurting ourselves. That means we're yielding to the world. We live in a day and age where, we're even getting our morality from the world. I was doing stairs back here, and I know I've said this before, and the young man working with me was a member of the church, and he called me up and said, Pastor, I need to do some community service. I got a DUI. I said, okay, first of all, why are you drinking, first of all, and then why are you driving in drunk, right? That's two stupid things. And he says, well, a good thing is next week I'll be able to do it because it'll be legal. Because he'll turn 21. I looked at him and says, legal how? Legal doesn't make it right. It's wrong according to the scriptures for you to be drunk. Yep. Yeah. And then drunk out there, that's even dumber. Trying to hurt somebody. And he goes, what? I said, that's not the way it is today. We don't yield to the world's standards of what's right and wrong. Let's yield to the Lord. Amen? Number two, if you would, please, go to James chapter 4. Just back up a little bit. You're in Hebrews. Go back to James right after Hebrews. So to get to Hebrews, come back. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Right at the beginning, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, we need to draw nigh to God. A disciple wants to be right next to the teacher. Learn as much as he can. How do I become a yielding is get next to the Lord, the Master. Learn more about the Master. Hey, we have a great Master. Amen. I mean, I can't think anything bad about our God. And so get close to Him. Figure out. That's one of the reasons why I say read your Bible and read it. A new dialogue has been adopted by neo-Christians of our day. The first word of it reads, thou shalt not disagree. And a new set of beatitudes, too, which begins, blessed are they that tolerate everyone and everything, for they shall not be made accountable for anything. That's a sad part. We need to yield to God, not to this world. Too many Christians are yielding to the world. Galatians chapter 5. And I just put Galatians 5, but we'll look at a couple verses. It's the whole chapter, but we'll look at a couple verses that help out with this. Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, if you would please, and it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Say, preacher, what we're talking about yieldedness. Sin binds us. Question I have, how much is enough money? Never enough. They asked Howard Hughes that, and he said, one more dollar. Whatever he has, one more dollar. How good of a phone do you need? Amen? Come on, I have one downstairs just for fun. I bought it because I liked it. It was cool looking. I said, I got to get this. I got it. It's an old-fashioned phone. It still dials, but it's the old-fashioned one. I was planning on getting one that you had to crank to get it going. Amen? I still remember the party line. My grandma had a party line. And my grandma over there like this going, shh. She'd tell us kids to be hush up because she had her hand on the transmitter and she was listening to all the party, all the gossip. And she was two ringy dingies. You think that's hilarious, but that's true. The phone would go, dring, dring. Dring, dring. That meant Alta Savage, pick up your phone. If it was three ring-a-dingies, it was her neighbor down the street. If it was one ring-a-dingy, it was the guy up the street. Seriously, they'd go, dring. Dring. That's how you knew who was supposed to answer the phone. But that person's not the only one that answered it. Everybody did. Now we don't have those kind of phones anymore, those party lines. You know what we do? We put it on social media. Yeah, but we do. Well, sometimes we do also. We text and we send things out. And then I remember years ago watching a commercial in a football game. I was watching a football game and a commercial came on. And I kind of glanced over because there was this young girl. There was a picture of her in a racy outfit on the school bulletin board. And she walked down and pulled it up. She came the next hour and it was back up there. She pulled it off and she kept pulling it off. And they said, watch out what you put online. It's going to be there forever. And now we have party lines all up. We can do everything with our phone. We can order meals. We can get tickets. My wife ordered, because I like Betty Crocker blueberry muffins for breakfast on Sunday morning. She ordered some out for us. She ordered them yesterday or 2 days. Or no, when did you order it?
I ordered them Friday.
That's pretty cool. You can order a meal. I know some people, they're ordering their food. They don't even go to the grocery store anymore. Come in with your phone. Pretty soon they're going to be doing more than that to us. They're going to tell us what to say. In other words, the flesh, this world never satisfies. It's never enough. We have a God that's enough. We don't need any more. Come on, amen. So we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not walk in the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen? We're not under the law of bondage to where we have to, thou shalt. Just follow the Spirit. Come on, amen? And you'll be fine. And you can see, live in the Spirit. It talks about that as fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Verse 22, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So let us try our hardest to yield to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, how do I know the Holy Spirit's leading me? Well, first of all, I'll help you out. There's a few questions you can ask. If you think the Holy Spirit's leading you, number one, is it according to the Word of God? If it has a biblical reference or a biblical principle, then that's the Holy Spirit, because the devil's not going to do that. Remember, the devil always wants to pick pieces of the Bible and tell you, not the principle of it or the interpretation of it, the full scriptures. He just wants to grab pieces. And that's why the Lord kept saying, thus saith the Lord, when he was tempted by the devil. So make sure it's of the Bible. Number two, is it good to do? The Holy Spirit's only guide you in the Word of God, and he's only going to guide you into truth. And number three, do you have the time and resources to get it done? Because God's never going to ask you to do something you can't do. Years ago, we were talking about our faith promise missions, and one of the men came up and says, I think God's leading me to give $100 a month to the missions. And I says, well, that's great. I said, amen. You didn't need to tell me that, but amen. He goes, yeah, my mom gave me her credit card and said I can use it. I said, that's not God providing. That's you putting your mom in debt. God doesn't do it that way. He said, well, I believe the Holy Spirit led me. No, he didn't. That's the flesh. Because the Holy Spirit would have given you the $100. You just said, well, I'll just wait till the $100 get here. And the Holy Spirit will get it to you if it's right to do. And he got the resources to do it. Next one, if you would, please. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, if you would, please. Okay, so everybody get that? World, God, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 5. What other work can I show forth my actions and how I act and how my life is? What else can I do? The next one is in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Extra work. Nobody likes to hear those terms. Work's already a four-letter word. Now you're going to throw extra in it. Oh, me? We live in a day and age we want less work, more money. We want to do less and get more money for it. We want to offer less and get more recognition. We want a title without the work. We want to buy our certifications online for 99 cents or $19.99 special. It's sad, isn't it? We don't want to put the work out. And to do extra work, that's even more annoying to believers today. But the word dynamic, show forth a disciple, shows forth a person that does something extra. I didn't say disciple. God's got a lot of disciples out there. Christ does. A lot of people following him. They're not yielding to him. They yield when they want to. When it's something they want to do, they'll do it. I talk to ladies all the time who come in there and go, why am I problem submitting? Oh, I submit most of the time. Whoa, hold on a second. Unless it's something I don't want to do. Well, that's what submission's all about. And the same way with the Lord. Guys, we're supposed to submit to God. Guys, do not ask your wives to submit to you if you're not submitting to God. That's hypocritical. So make sure your life's following the Lord, and then they can see your example and want to follow you. Doesn't always work, but at least you can look back and say, I'm following Jesus. Come on. Yeah. Amen. So, but extra work. It takes extra work. And we're missing that today. I still remember years ago, I had my own company, and I had two crews, and one of the guys wanted a raise, and I said, well, show me that you're worth more money. Well, I've been here. Amen. But just showing up that's part of the job, amen? Amen. Showing up, but you got to do more. I mean, you're still swinging a hammer, and you ought to be able to lay you'll be able to read the print and lay out walls. You ought to be able to cut rafters and stairs, and you can't do that yet. You want to raise, but you're not doing more. If we want to be dynamic, we got to do more than just the average believer. Amen? We got to work harder, okay? Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, that do it heartily as unto the Lord. Heartily. Put your heart into it. Come on, amen? Anybody ever said that? Put your heart into it. One of the funniest things I did is I went to a weight exercise. I don't know what you want to call it. You used to call them health clubs. You go to them and you lift weights and you run and they go. I remember going with my father-in-law to Bally. Does that sound right? I went in there, about a fitness center. That's what they were called, fitness center. I go in there, and we're sitting there with a couple of my buddies from church. Now, these guys, I can't remember the guy's name. He was an Italian, and he stood about 5'10", and he had a 55-inch chest and a 32-inch waist. Guy was massive, strong, and him and another guy that was 6 foot, and the other guy was 6'5" and weighed 295 pounds, and there wasn't a stitch of fat on either one of them guys. And they invited me to go lifting weights with them. I thought I was the weight to be lifted. Oh, you're gonna curl me? And they go over there and challenge, and we're over there challenging each other. They got some weight on, and I'm trying to push. Oh, come on, they're over there, young guy, get that up, put your heart into it. What's the matter with you? I'm sitting there going, these guys can lift this up with one hand. They go over there, here, I'll spot you. Thanks. But, you know, they came over and says, there's no yelling in this fitness center. I said, what? And they told you, you're not supposed to grunt. I said, can I pass gas? And they just looked at me weird. I went, what is the matter with this place? And now you have to go in and say, where's the men's place? Because, you know, they got all these little weird weights. We wanted the free weights. You know, and it was interesting. But you know what? They would yell at me, put your heart into it, Christian. Put your heart into it. Come on, I mean, we do a lot of, every once in a while I watch those little clips on YouTube, the top 10 plays of the week or the day and all the sports, and these people are diving for baseballs, these people are running into fences and coming through and getting checked and lacrosse with those rackets and falling down and throwing the ball backward. I mean, come on, they're putting the heart in to win a game. We're trying to show Jesus we love him. Well, put your heart into it. You're getting ahead of me. Ecclesiastes 9. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. We don't need to do it now. He had to get ahead of me there. Yeah. Verse 10, chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. You know what? And that's Ecclesiastes 9:10. When we get to heaven, work's all done. Once you die, that's done. No more work. How many of you are like me? The first few years of your spiritual life, or the first few months, you didn't do very good. Anybody like me like that? Didn't do good. I kind of got off of the starting blocks real fast, got discouraged, and kind of got a little carnal, and spent about a year of coasting. So when I got right with God after my wife and I got married, I got right with God, and we said, we're going to go forward. You know what I said? Man, I already got a fire going in heaven. I'm going to try to overshadow it with some rewards on the other side. I'm going to work harder, do it with all my might. Why? I have preacher friends of mine retiring at my age. They're done. They're not preaching anymore. 65, they're not preaching anymore. I'm 66. So I've lasted one more year than them. One of them asked me, he says, you're going to wear yourself out. And I said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. And they look at me and go, you're crazy. Listen, when we get to the grave, there's no more work to be done. It's over with. You could shout and holler, I wish I had more time. Well, God says you got the time you're supposed to have. Come on. Let's do it with all of my, especially good stuff. Let's do it with all of our might. And lastly, Philippians, well, we know the verse, don't you? I can do all things, say it, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're not doing this work on our own, so we ought to get a lot done. Anybody's bragging about what Donald Trump's done in 6 months. What did God do in 6 days? Have you looked around lately? That's an amazing. Can you imagine what the creation looked like before the flood? Imagine how perfect it was. You wonder if the bugs came up and says, do you want me to move or not? Do you want me in your garden or not? Because sometimes bugs are good for the garden. Sometimes they're not. Get out of there. I don't need you right now. Amen? Come in there and kill. If people say, don't kill a spider because they kill certain bugs. Well, if they just killed the bugs, I'd be happy. But bite my toe in the middle of the night is not what I want them to do. Wake up with a swollen. Anybody wake up with a swollen toe? Because some nut bug decided to bite you? No, I mean, I don't know how it was, but it would have been neat to see. We are not, you know, we need to do things because we can do them through Christ. Amen? Yeah. Lastly, if you would please, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go along with this. We're going to finish. Amen. Ephesians 2. Hopefully you got all those. Ephesians 2 is a great chapter talking about our salvation. And I'm just going to go down this list so we can take a couple minutes anyway of fellowship. Chapter 2, verse 10 says this. He says, for what? For we are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We should work. In other words, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 that we shouldn't be slothful. Anybody know the difference between lazy and slothful? What's What's the difference between lazy and slothful? There is a difference.
Lazy is not doing it all, slothful is doing it, oh well, it'll get
close. Lazy is not doing it all. Slothful is doing something else other than what you're supposed to be doing. You're busy about something else and you're being slothful of what you're supposed to do. I'm going to put that, it's procrastination. I don't want to do that one, I'm going to do this. That's slothful. I'm slothful about my work. Oh, listen, people are busy, but lazy is different. Let's don't be slothful. Come on, amen? Good works. Good works in Titus chapter 3, verse 18. After you're saved, we should do good works because they're profitable unto men. Amen? I have a different ministry. A lot of the pastor friends of mine, they visit their members all the time. If a member gets sick, they'll go by and sit down with them and have cookies and coffee or tea and talk with them and comfort them. I have a different, I'll just call them or send them a card. But I tell you what, if you want a deck built, I'll be there. You want concrete poured, I'll be there. You just tell me, I'll be there. Oh boy, mine's going to get busy. But what's the reason? Well, it's profitable. That's my ministry. I can do that. I have no problem doing that. I remember a friend of mine, we called him Man Super because his name was Kent. No, it was Clark Kent. It's backwards. Isn't it Superman in that Kent Clark? Clark Kent. Well, his was Kent Clark, so we called him Man Super. And he goes, he looks at me, the first time I called him back, he goes, what? I said, yeah, you're Man Super. You're a Superman backwards. He said, oh, I am, ain't I? He didn't know it. He loved going to nursing homes. He got a thrill. He thrived at the nursing homes, just going in there and ministering to the people. Some pastors have that. Some pastors have visiting the hospitals, and I don't have that as much. I do it out of duty more than loving it, but I do love swinging a hammer. I do love pouring concrete. I do love building things, and if I can be a blessing to you, amen. Good works are profitable to people, and it shows forth that you're willing to be a servant of Christ. Lastly, we need to walk in them. A dynamic disciple is not just in word. It's not just in, I got the attitude, me and Jesus are one. No, his life shows forth that. His actions. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your stay. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these folks being here today. I pray that you'll help us as Christians. May we start racking them up, some good works, some achievements, actions. Our actions will speak louder than our words, and we won't be just talking, we'll walk the talk. Guide us and enable us in Christ's name. Amen.